Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.
Yes,
this is Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you pretty much every week. Last week was a bit of a thing. We're going to get to that a little bit later.
Right.
We opened the whole thing up with Heads Up, Hearts Down by I Fight Dragons, an oldie but a goodie. They actually are doing something weird right now where previously they had Project Atma, which turned into the near future that we play frequently. I think we did a listen-in on the show where we listened to the whole album. Which is like a concept album for the first half, and then the latter half is sort of singles.
I think we discussed this. Listening to a whole album is something I wish like
I
we
love
would.
It.
There's some out. The Wall I can listen to from start to finish.
I've listened to that before, and I've seen a few of the old Wall, and then Roger Waters the Roll Wall from a couple years back. I never really had the vinyl. Well, now I have Dark Side and the Wall.
Yeah.
On vinyl, I got it for my birthday. So I'm very happy.
I'm saying
that.
It. Wall's better than Dark Side.
I agree. I do agree, but I think there's more.
There's more to it.
So there's there's three or four another Bricks in the Wall on the Wall album.
Yeah.
And Dark Side, you know, everyone loves money. So
yeah, money's the one that.
But this is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you. We have a website where I swear to God, if I ever finish editing all of the audio or start to finish editing all the audio, they will have all of our new audio on there. It is exppoints.com. Mm-hmm. Remember, always double tap that P. We also have social media. That's Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube. Steam community at exppoints.com/social. That's our social media landing page. We're streamable on iTunes and on Stitcher, but also Spotify and Google Play Music podcasting services. That's
yep.
a mouthful.
Oh, yeah.
There's over 100 episodes of backlogged episodes on there. So please, you know, consume those at you as you would like and subscribe. Thank you. We're going to cut to two songs.
Mm-hmm.
And come back and talk about what we did for the last 2 weeks, because I was on vacation.
Yeah, you went to Disney.
And you were locked in a cage somewhere, I think.
Assisting on mostly rotten bread and apples.
That's it. Rotten bread. Those are just croutons, aren't they? Those are just croutons. No, it's moldy bread, I guess. Croutons aren't moldy bread.
It's a salad if you count all the leaves and stuff growing out of it.
This is History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And you've been listening to the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9. KSLU.
On Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
You just heard History Repeating Parts 1 and Parts 2
right.
By the Megas. I think that's off the Red album. And it's one of those albums where they took a bunch of the classic Mega Man jingles from Mega Man 1 and mm-hmm. I think mostly Mega Man 2. And then they just applied lyrics and they did the shred on some guitar. It's really, really great.
Project.
No, it's so good. They're guys out in California. We play them and the Proto Men frequently. And I love the Megas. The Proto Men are more of like this dystopic sort of terrifying future, and they are true artists. The Megas are more, I think, just musicians, and that's not a bad thing. I don't want that to be like a slam towards Megas fans, but
mm-hmm.
they're definitely like they're taking cues from the classical Mega Man universe, the traditional Mega Man universe, and the scores from the video games, which are fantastic music. Mega Man 2's music is amazing, in
yeah.
my opinion. But again, and then the Proto Man sort of like made up their own.
Buck band. I love that one.
Let's talk about what we did for the last 2 weeks since you last saw us, Dustin.
Yes.
You kick it off. What'd you be doing, man?
I was entangled in controversies and discussions.
Oh,
I wanted to just Gamergate.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, was that
no,
it? No.
Here's the thing about any kind of drama that video games have around it. It always has a taste of, is this really as important as everyone acting it is? Because at the end of the day, you don't need a video game.
Right.
It's not a necessity. So anybody getting really mad at anybody, it seems like a real waste of time. But at the same time, being manipulated by people is also not cool.
Yeah.
So what I fell into was two separate games that had the two exact same problems. The first one, I started playing the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta. It was
really good,
I liked
right?
I had a ton of fun playing it. Apparently, I go online, and if you like this, you're the devil.
Yes.
Because the loot crate system, which it is my opinion, it ain't as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Well, so it's not bad. It's the finish your sentiment.
Look,
we'll get to that
as a person who played the beta, and I spent the issue is that there are crates that you can use in-game currency to get, or you could spend money and purchase those things. People say that's pay to win. I call it an idiot tax. I think it has a much different thing because. I couldn't tell if anybody was spending money to beat me. And I think that's where it lies.
Oh, that'd be so good if there's like a separate leaderboard for like, look at how much this person has done spend on trying to get better than you.
Because I spent no actual money on this. And I got loot crates at a consistency of, you know, like every four or five games, I could get myself a little loot crate.
Right.
And there was never like, man, it's so tedious and whatever. It's like, no, I'm having fun playing the regular game. And I'm just, you know, these bonus challenges give you a ton of credits. And there was never a moment where I was like, man, I bet someone who spends a whole ton of money is really going to get it. No, they could be an idiot and do that.
Right.
They don't have a better chance of getting something better than me. And I'm not wasting my money. Now, if they have a disposable income to do that, sure, maybe they get a leg up on me if they're lucky.
Yeah.
But then they also get that crutch because I was in the top three, top four.
And you didn't spend a dime.
I didn't spend a dime. And I got some good cards and everything. But people are like, oh, what if somebody does all these scorecards or whatever? Yeah, but you can't fix being terrible at the game.
Well, yeah. So skill is, I think, paramount. You've got this great need to be better than someone else to compete. And I don't know that the first Battlefront ever had like a tournament system like Overwatch does or like Counter-Strike does. There's no legitimate, I think, tournament scene for that game.
No.
It was more of a, hey, look, we made a pretty, in Frostbite, we made a pretty first-person shooter, and we have the Star Wars license, and look what we did with it.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, I'm trying to think of games that are very similar. I think Overwatch has a card system, maybe a loot box system that gives you skins and may give you temporary boosts. Mm-hmm. I know maybe one of the Battlefields have a similar card loot system.
Yeah.
They also have that weird like launch from a browser thing.
They also have, and it's very interesting to me, that people were more upset about stuff that, you know, EA, the company behind Star Wars Battlefront, and we'll talk about them a little bit more today.
Yep.
That in Battlefield 1, or the I think it's is it or just Battlefield?
I think it's just Battlefield. Yeah.
In the World War 1, you can buy shortcuts that unlock all the class stuff.
You called it World War 1 just now.
World War 1. Yeah. Well, I mean, Battlefield World War.
That's okay. I'm sorry. No.
Battlefield get trench foot get, is not. It. But they have. It's very interesting to me that they decided to have these unlocks where you can unlock everything in that class, which does take you a lot of time,
right?
Which does take a substantial work, and that does feel unfair. Now,
well, yeah, because you were. It's not at that point. It's not trading in money to deal with your lack of skill to compensate for that. You're trading in money to accelerate unlock, and that's. It's not cheating because everyone can do it. And it's not like you have to spend money in order to get it because everyone can do it by just progression. But
that's like saying everyone can buy a mansion. Yeah, if I had $46 million, I could buy a mansion.
Right. That's probably the only way you're going to actually afford it because working up to that point, you're probably – by the time you get there, you're like, I don't want to buy this mansion or I don't – Yeah, I don't have an analogy for that one.
Yeah,
but.
And it's a special kick in the you know what's if you
the arm got, kick in the arm
kick
I
in
hate
the arm
kicked in the arm
I
man.
Hate kicked in the giblets if yep. you will that if you were before these unlocks came out, what if you were one of those gamers that worked really hard to unlock all this stuff.
Like a completionist.
And then all of a sudden they come out with this $10 stuff.
Right. So I felt that way. I can't remember the game, but I worked my butt off trying to unlock everything in this game. And then the definitive edition came out and it unlocked everything for you for like $5 or $10 or $20. And I just felt so wrecked because I'm like, my time was worth it. I hate taking that stance because my time actually wasn't worthless. I enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But someone out there was able to sort of get fast passed. More on fast passes in a minute.
Yeah.
Fast passed to the front of this line. And I've been here like trudging through the trenches, getting trench foot, you know, you're just saying, trying to do everything and being better than everybody. And in some games, it really does matter how your gear grind. Like that really is important.
Yeah. And a lot of people, and this is not an apt comparison at all, but imagine a gamer who's been working so hard on this game. He's got all these little ribbons and stuff and all these little badges, and some new guy comes in. He's got all the same stuff. Yeah. You're like, where'd you get that? He's like, oh yeah, you can buy it at the store.
That's it.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's it. That's what, well, and you know what? I hate that whenever it's a pre-order bonus, because it's a bonus like, oh, it's literally just code. It's ones and zeros. And I can't get it because I didn't pre-order this game. The only reason you pre-order games is so that you can pre-load or that you don't run out of inventory. But
that's
in a game of digital distribution, you never run out of inventory because that's not how that works, guys. So pre-ordering games is sort of unnecessary. Now, I pre-ordered Mass Effect Andromeda. A lot of fat good that did me.
Yeah.
You know?
I got
in there and I played for, I think it was a 10-hour early release. You could, you know, doot around the surface for a little bit. But, and I didn't know, I enjoyed that. That was cool. But I don't think that I maybe got a few things that no one else can ever get with the game. Not that that really matters, but I enjoy it when I do it. I get the thing, but it's not like it's a principle I can really stand behind. It's a cool thing. It needs to be made available though.
Yeah.
Even for a price, you need to be able to later, you know, the Steam community or the Steam workshop or something, you need to be able to pay. Not for, you know, for an actual mod, for a DLC or for something from the manufacturer. I don't feel like that's bad.
I understand DLC completely. DLC completely is a whole nother set of work you have to do.
You are getting extra. You're paying extra to get extra.
But we know a gimmick when we see it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a gimmick. The thing.
Hey, look, $15, guys. You don't even have to play the game. We'll just max
the
your
win
level.
Button.
We'll just max your level out. We'll give you invulnerability. And for $15 a month, we'll keep giving you invulnerability.
But irony is people getting upset about Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta having that. They got put their blinders on to things that were doing that.
Everything
else that was doing it much worse.
It's standing on the shoulders of the games that came before it, and it's, you know, there are a lot of games that have done it.
Yeah.
Pay to win. This doesn't even seem like a pay to win scenario. But
no, it doesn't because they never won.
Well, and you know, mountain out of a molehill sort of mentality would suggest that it's not very far away, and you're right, it's not very far away. But you still have to have that skill to kind of if you got the skill, you're going to dominate.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you got the golden gun if you can't hit anything with it.
You were in the Marines. It's like the guy who spends his paycheck. You know, like I got all this new gear. It's like that's not going to help you on the run, okay.
I'm sorry. You can max that rifle out as much as you want.
It doesn't make you better at shooting.
You got laser sights. Well, everybody can see that laser. You know, it's you can Call of Duty as much as you want. It's just not for. Yeah. It's not real.
And
so.
Then the second game. Again, and it was...
Oh, yeah, that was just the first drama.
That was the first drama. The second one was shot... I was playing the new Middle-Earth Shadow of War, and it has a loot crate system. And not only... They have two different ones. You could get gold by completing challenges that day, and you get, like, the gold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it has in-game, like, in crates. And, of course, you could buy the gold. Again, it could be largely ignored.
Right.
You could completely ignore it. But it was just that was a longer tangent when I meant it.
No, it's fine because I don't like everybody. So there's trends in video games. As video games go, you know, you look at a game and you go, well, this is we did bullet time right after. I think we were talking about it a while back. After The Matrix, every game had bullet time.
And
we burned that fad out. I think now we've got achievement systems are one of those game mechanics that everything has now. Everything's got an achievement system.
You gotta have achievement. It doesn't matter.
Now, and thankfully, you know, oh, you've got Sony achievements or PlayStation achievements or Xbox achievements or Steam achievements or something. Mm-hmm. We very infrequently now have like a built-in only, you know, it's typically your digital distribution achievements, your Uplay, or, you know, yeah, achievement system. But that's something that stuck around. I think loot crates and loot boxes are going to be the next thing that is here to stay. It's going to stick around. Those things from, I think, Team Fortress started it or popularized it.
Yeah.
Team Fortress 2, which just is got a brand new map. The jungle map is out now, which is pretty cool.
And you look at the popularity of Overwatch that has something similar.
Right.
And it's hard to go in a corporate office, go, well.
You know what's very interesting? I was speaking with a friend of mine who doesn't follow game journalism or anything at all, and doesn't really, he's not like a brand snob or whatever, so he doesn't really care. It's a good game, it's a good game. It doesn't matter if, you know, Ubisoft made it or, you know, Blizzard made it.
Right.
He actually thought, just from the art style, that Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch were made by the same company, and I didn't realize it until I kind of looked at both of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? There are a lot of like similarities in like the character design.
Everything has that Lilo and Stitch look where you stick it with a straw and inflate it.
The fingers are kind of bulbousy and the nose and the facial features are bulbous. Everything is inflated. Yeah.
Yeah, a little balloony.
This is tying into what I'm about to talk about so well. You're talking about Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, perfectly.
And fast passes. And yeah. Yeah, so but no, so
pay for fun now.
I spent my last week before the week, well, not this week, but the week last week.
Right.
I was at Disney. Mm-hmm. I went to the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, I asked you if you had fun, and you groaned and hesitated.
Well, did you have fun? Yeah, I'm all out of fun. No, I really did have fun. I've gone to Disney 3 times in my life, all while I've been relatively an adult.
Right.
Very recently, so I've been the most adult I've ever been. But previously, I think 2 or 3 or maybe 6 years ago. And then before that, 7 or 8 years ago from now. So twice back to back, almost within a year and a half, 2 years. And then just now. And Disney changes a lot every so often.
Right, right.
So, for instance, the last time I went there, Pandora wasn't there. The Avatar ride wasn't there, and now it is. Mm-hmm. And I rode it, and it's great. That technology is fantastic. It's by far and wide the most interesting augmented reality, you know, 3D, 4D maybe even, ride that I've ever experienced. It's really great. I think the only way they could have made it better is if they somehow would have incorporated maybe a VR headset with the 4D, because I could look around and I could see people to my left and right. The idea is you're on sort of like a jet ski motorcycle thing that's supposed to simulate one of those flying birds things.
Oh, that you have sex with.
Yes. Yeah, you commune with the thing. They gloss over that. They don't talk about the biology and in the Disney ride. But the whole artistry going in and then getting on that thing is fine. The technology is amazing. It's like soaring on steroids.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. We went to a bunch of places. We didn't ride a ton of rides. I mean, I love just looking around and watching how they've built all of this little tiny, these little worlds and meshed them together. You know, you're walking through and all of a sudden you're in Agrabah and you see like the Genie Magic Carpet ride. And then all of a sudden you're in the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, that melded really well. And
oh, yeah, that's always cool.
It's super cool. I really enjoyed it. It was the Food and Wine Festival. So I drank and I ate and it was great. And
I sense a big hairy butt.
No, there's no but. The nice thing is the thing that I realized when I was there more than the other previous times, and I think it's because I work in tech now. Previously, I was a student. I notice all the technology. I notice all the technology all around. Everything is RFID. Everything is they have these magic bands that are effectively like your ticket that you load your ticket on, and they're just like they're like little watch. Pedometers or whatever, and you just boop them next to the sensors when you want to go in, and you put your thumbprint down, and they track where you go in the park. There's always readers everywhere, and over time, this big data sort of situation is created. They figure out where all these people are going, and they can reposition cast members, and they can reposition restaurants, and reposition trash cans, and reposition all
they
of these
have,
things. It's down to a science.
They have a military, future military overlord.
They do.
System it's of so, I imagine Cyberdyne.
It's so good.
When the first days of the nuclear fallout, getting the humans organized will be much like the same ways.
They are really good at lines. They're really good at lines. In fact, they tricked me. They tricked me. I was there with my girlfriend and her family and a family that they were friends with. And we went to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and we didn't want to do fast passes for things because fast passes can be expensive. So a lot of times we would do single rider. But the single rider line was kind of long, and the regular line was kind of long. And we didn't want to stand in line for like an hour and a half. So instead, we spent an hour doing treasure hunts and getting fast passes by doing the treasure hunts. And not only did we get a fast pass, which at that point, we already spent an hour. We waited an hour and a half in line. We didn't save that much time. We shaved a third of the time off, but a third minutes in a line is not really that bad. Especially at Disney. I mean, it's enclosed. There's fans. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's like the best first world line to be in. But we walk around and we get to play this RFID augmented reality type. I say augmented reality. This animatronic scavenger hunt. We get a map at the Pirates of the Caribbean hut, you know, the Tortuga hut or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have to start. We scan our bracelet or whatever on the thing, and it gives us a starting point. We look on the map. We find that starting point in the real world in the area. We go into that area, and we find this sort of prop that's been there. That has a medallion on it, and we like scan our magic band against that. And it gives us the clue to the next one. So we're running around.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I'm looking at this thing going, I thought this was just plastic. I thought this was just fiberglass, painted fiberglass over here. Just decorative nonsense.
No, they got some neat stuff in there.
They got some neat stuff in there. We ended up finding, like, a chalice and a sword and a bunch of stuff. Brought it back, got fast passes, and we rode the ride. And arguably, the ride wasn't as fun as the scavenger hunt.
Really?
You know, it was – because, I mean, everyone that's been on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride knows what to expect. You're on a boat. You just kind of float around. It's nice out of the heat. It's dark and there's water and it's cool.
But
the scavenger hunt was new.
It engages you.
It's super engaging. I loved it. It was really, really awesome. I've got to say, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm a super Disney fan. I do love Disney movies. Don't get me wrong. I love musicals and I love good artwork.
Yeah.
And my favorite ride, and everyone laughed at me, is the Carousel of Progress, which is literally this donut of a building, this like saucer building.
Yeah, it just is like,
it just rotates and it's a play sort of. It's like a stage show. I think it's the longest running stage show in American theater.
Yeah.
And it's four or five segments of American families or the American family throughout the ages. And I don't know. I love it. I love how technology changed.
I love how idealistic they are. They're very positive.
Well, you know what? They started with the past, and by the time they get to the future, which is like maybe the late 90s or the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's not as dated.
It's not as dated. It is kind of out of date, but it's odd that they predicted everything or that they've put in there exactly what happened. VR is in there, adequate VR, which we have now
by the
Vive and PSVR and everything. And then they can talk to the oven and talk to the Christmas lights, Alexa.
Yes.
Siri, okay, Google. I hope my phone or your phone doesn't go off just now. You know, just everything about that. And it is very positive, you know. But I love it. It's a super chilled out ride. I'm so happy that's there. There are certain things that aren't there anymore. The Great Movie Ride, for instance, is gone.
Oh.
There's another ride that is leaving or has left, and I can't remember what that was, but in Hollywood Studios. And then the third thing is I went to Downtown Disney, which is the free one you get into. It's like a bunch of strip malls. They have the Lego park there, or the Legoland there. And I went to a store called Uniqlo. And I've never been to Uniqlo, but I bet you would love to buy clothes from Uniqlo. They don't underwrite for the show. They don't give us any money.
Okay, no money.
No money at all. But I went in and they've got like comfort suit jackets for $60. And it's made out of like synthetic blends.
Uh-huh.
So it looks fantastic. It's easy to clean and it's comfortable and it kind of stretches. It's awesome. It's like wearing pajamas, but you look professional.
Nice.
Really cool and it's cheap. Really nice. I recommend them, but only because I went there total op-ed. I went over there and I just tried on some stuff. They have like these silky shorts that made me feel very pretty. It was great.
I'm like a French king.
I am. It's exactly what I was like. And then the week before that, I play Fallout 4. That's sort of a constant thing. Yeah. I am playing the new Oxygen Not Included version. So they introduced a bunch of changes. The research tree changed. And they also added, oil. They added oil to it.
I haven't started playing it yet because I knew it was still kind of, I kind of wait.
It's totally, if you bought it right now and they stopped updating, I think it'd be worth the $20 you'd spend on it. It's very, very good.
Excellent.
We're going to cut to three songs, come back, and we're going to go through our main segment. Michael, jump in by No More Kings, The Future Soon from the Code Monkey Save World Kickstarter campaign by Jonathan Colton. I bought this a while back, and they with the tier that I have, they sent me some acoustic versions.
Are
that
you
he
kidding?
Recorded. No, it was great. It was part of the tier. It's not like it's a personal thing for me. Like,
yeah.
You know, JC to Matt with love. No, nothing like that. Yeah. And then Euphemia by Area 11. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Southeastern, this is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
On Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
You just heard Euphemia by Area 11. Before that, the Code Monkey Save World version of The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton. I think it was acoustic. It was fun. It was intimate, I think. And then we started.
I feel seduced. I don't know about you, Matt.
Where find me, Jonathan Colton? I will hug him. And we open the whole thing up with Michael Jump In by No More Kings. We have a list of things that we want to talk about. Let's go ahead and get the big ticket items out of the way real quick.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about some of the games that have recently released and then are recently released.
Right.
If we have time, we don't. That was a long segment previously. And so anyway, we talked previously about, I think, Nostalrius. They were the legacy World of Warcraft vanilla server.
They were keeping the server going.
They were keeping the server going. They ended up shutting down. And they got revamped as the Elysium Project with some of that data. We have another scandal. Scandalous. We have another scandal for this Elysium Project, which is strange.
It's like straight up embezzlement, isn't it?
Yeah. So Elysium closed down for a minute due to the and the team is effectively fractured because two members of the team. These people, Sheena and Krog, they have been taking money. Sheena specifically skimming about $2,300 off the top of PayPal donations for personal financial reasons. And then Krog opening sort of this weird gold, you pay me real money and I give you gold in the server type of thing. And it's strange because normally you don't get updates. You're like, yeah, that's what these guys said. What are these going to say? It doesn't really matter. They actually admitted it. They came back earlier, and I think it's on the sheet you have. They came back earlier today, late yesterday, and they said, "Yeah, we totally did it." But they're like, "We did it for a good reason." And this is from a Kotaku article. They said, "Yeah, we kind of did it for a good reason." Paraphrasing, we did it because if we didn't do this, I wouldn't have made enough money to survive. My family wouldn't have made enough money to survive. So by taking this money from the donations, I was able to work on the server more.
All right. Here's their statement. Let me read what they said here. This is a direct quote. Yes, due to mine and my family's personal problems, I did receive money for a personal use. But at the end of the day, it helped to spend more time here maintaining the servers, claimed Sheena. The other one, Krog, I believe this one's Krog. We didn't want to resort to gold sales, but donations were extremely limited, and it was either we do limited sales or we shut down Elysium. That is not an excuse, just a reality of the situation. Here's the problem with this. Second thing, the gold sales, actually, if you say if you give me money, I will give you gold, and that's your server, you kind of you can do that. Right. That's okay. The first part of this is the problem.
Well, I actually don't know that you can do that second piece because
really?
Blizzard doesn't legacy servers. They want to do vanilla servers themselves, but they probably won't do it for another few years. They're a little far behind with that. They say that they can't do it. The technology's not there. Clearly, it is here. Whenever you start receiving money for services, donations are fine. I could donate $1,000 to you, and I don't even know if you have to do taxes, like a tax form. I think you may have to. I don't know. I'm not an accountant or CPA, but the idea here is that it's not The gold that they're selling is a product of a game developed by Blizzard, right?
Right.
So that's one thing. You're literally saying, hey, we're using this for the server. That's a different thing.
And you know what? I think you'll be hard pressed to find someone who can give you a straight answer on that, because things like that are woefully out of date.
Oh yeah.
For our current internet age, just like we just got a com all talking about how the last obscenity act was 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things on who owns what.
Right.
And you know,
it's their IP surely, but it's not like it's just Blizzard's code running here. It's Elysium code is driving this.
Right. But my argument would be, if I was them, if we don't have this server, it doesn't exist in the first place.
Right. Right.
So that is an argument they can make, and that'd be a substantial argument. The first part of this, though, is where
the embezzlement, the skimming
is straight up. I said I was going to do, you gave us money to do one thing, and I did something else with it.
Well, but then she sort of tries to, I say she, you know, oh. Sheena tries to say that, oh, it's kind of okay because I was able to spend more time on the server, helping do the things on the server because of this money.
Right.
It's almost like she's trying to justify it by mm-hmm. saying, we would have had to shut the server down if I didn't do this. Mm-hmm. The official statement from the Elysium Project is, quote, the Elysium Project is being dissolved and relaunched out of the control of those who have abused the trust of the staff, community, and legacy movement as a whole, end quote. They're going to relaunch this as Light's Hope. That's mm-hmm. the new legacy project.
Probably
and
a good
apparently,
idea.
They took a lot of the backup data from Elysium. So the
good.
Players that were playing on the server should be able to have their old characters, conceivably, if they took enough data.
Good.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I'm going to give you this metaphor, Matt. Say you give me a bunch of money to go buy some groceries for dinner, and I take that money and I go, I didn't go grocery shopping. I decided instead to take that money and just use it to pay for gas. But because now I can drive home faster, I can cook dinner longer. I don't have any groceries, though, do
right,
I?
Right. Okay, fine. Fair enough. I'm not. You know what? I'm not saying that this is
oh,
right.
No,
not
no.
at all. Like,
oh, no,
don't
no.
Pay me at the Arroyo, I'll get you. It's terrible because they misused, they destroyed the trust, the goodwill, all of this stuff. And I hate it because good communities are so hard to come by sometimes
right.
because of this thing. There's always somebody screwing it
if
up.
If you need to donate, if you wanted donations for that, and you want to be upfront, the time for being upfront was before you skimmed money.
Right.
If you said, hey, I need donations because of a personal thing, and it'll help me work on the servers
later. They even say it. Well, we didn't want to do gold sales, but donations were too low, so we did gold sales so we can take more money. Come on.
No, and that's pay to win right there.
That's exactly it. So the second story we have is Visceral Games closed from EA.
This makes me nervous.
Some of the games that they made, Battlefield Hardline.
Dead Space.
I think Dead Space, maybe Dead Space 2. I think they did all three. Did they do all three? Man, it just seems like the creative team for three wasn't as creative as two and one.
Well, I wonder how much, because I remember I'd never boycotted a game before except for that game.
I think I got it for free or something.
I won't play for free.
Not an on the house. Like maybe just like, I don't know.
Just being, because it was just ridiculous, because it was like you can't even get into parts of the place into the game without paying for it.
Yeah, no,
that's
where
ridiculous. I was like, that's the
it's
line.
Absolutely. I think you and I actually talked about that fairly recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oddly enough, we found that.
We're not going to get into it, but this isn't the first company that's...
No, Maxis, you had
Pandemic that made Mercenaries, which I'd love a new Mercenaries game right now.
It'd be really great if... I always looked at Mercenaries the same as like the Army games, like the Army games. Like I love those games.
Yeah, they're silly and they should be.
So they were at the time. Visceral Games was working on a new Star Wars game.
Yes, they released some alpha footage of it. Very, very early footage. Mm-hmm. It was going to be very narrative driven. They have the working title of the Star Wars game. It doesn't have an official title. It's just called Ragtag, according to this.
Oh, it was Rogue One. No, it wasn't. It was a team of Ragtag warriors.
Worldwide Studios will take over development of Ragtag.
Okay, so I misread that then. I thought that was done.
No. Okay. The game is still being in development. Okay. They haven't dropped the game, and that's one thing I was glad at. However, my history of games that get passed around from studio to studio is that, and this makes me nervous, is that the work that Visceral Studios did, the assets of the game will be built by the foundation of this new game. So unless they have the guys from Visceral Games working with Worldwide, they don't know how those assets work, correct?
So typically in development anywhere, there's conventions that you develop and that you follow. So these conventions are the way that we develop, how things will fit together, naming conventions, so that when someone in a completely different part of the world, think BioWare, Montreal versus BioWare,
right,
anywhere
right.
in the world, when a developer that doesn't always have eyes on your code, looks at your code, they can kind of make a guess based off those conventions. And some of them are just sort of industry conventions, that,
right.
The way that we name things or whatever. There's two or three.
Worldwide Studios, is that
I've never heard of them.
It's part of the EA Vancouver team, apparently.
Okay.
I'm going
to
get...
Converting the whole thing to Frostbite.
I was about to say that. Like, this is just...
Rewriting the whole engine.
Well, yeah, it's so probably going to be a Frostbite
engine. It probably already was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's by EA.
So, EA, they're all about Frostbite. But it makes me nervous having it switched up. But it could be great. It's...
At the end of the day, a good developer, a good game... I hope they take their time and get it done right. You know, I think Miyamoto had said something like a bad game will always be a bad game, but or something like to the effect of you can delay a game, and if it's a good game, it's a good game. But if you rush a game, it's a bad game. It's always a bad game.
Yeah,
that has been true in every instance.
Pretty much,
we've seen
you
that.
Can smell the rush.
But we're almost out of time. Let's go through a few really big ticket games coming down the pipe. You mentioned Shadows of War. Mm-hmm. The Evil Within 2 actually recently came out on the 13th, and I played the first one, and I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
It was the guy from Resident Evil, the director, that brought back survival horror. It wasn't my thing.
It felt tedious, to be honest.
Yesterday, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, I love saying that on air.
That came out on Steam and has very mixed reviews because of Uplay.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Ubisoft's got a... never mind. It doesn't bode saying on the radio.
The 19th was going to be the release of Age of Empires Definitive Edition. You and I were kind of stoked about that, but for PC.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've bumped that to early next year.
Don't know why.
We'll see. I have actually gotten the date wrong, I think, and I maybe have said it on air several times for Destiny 2. It's October 24th for PC.
I've said 27th, too. I was there with you.
The 27th, I've actually underlined or line-ized everything on the 27th. Super Mario Odyssey for the Switch. Wolfenstein 2.
Yes. Killing everything. Nazis, yes.
And then Assassin's Creed Origins. You're in Egypt for PS4, Xbox One,
I'm
PC.
Going to wait, and I'm hopeful. I'm usually the Assassin's Creed games have been a little lackluster recently.
I think this is the one that's going to do it. It's got positive play everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I was trying not to get excited for this, but it looks like they really changed a lot of the stuff.
I hope so.
November 3rd, Call of Duty World War II, going back to its roots, its original Call of Duty shooter, back when it's competing with Medal of Honor, back when that was a thing.
I'm excited about it, but at the same time, like, I remember a world full of World War II shooters.
Yes.
I don't like that.
Have we had the right learning experience taking a breath from them? We'll see November 3rd.
I think graphically we've gotten a lot better with that. I mean, we're not looking at the same gray muddy palette every time, so
yes,
maybe.
So we'll see.
We're gonna end it on November 7th. There's two big ticket items that I think we have. One is DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Do yourself a favor. I haven't played for PS4. Absolutely.
I haven't done
fantastic.
It yet. I have it.
Matt, you're killing me here.
Four or five hours in, and I'm like, or 7 or 8 hours in, and it's amazing. But
the biggest one is the console release.
The big one, arguably.
Actually, Xbox One X, it looks like if you haven't picked up the Xbox One yet, there hasn't been too much that's making use of the software yet.
Or if you you don't have a PC that can game at all.
If you don't have a gaming PC, I think the Xbox One X is probably what you need right there. But that's about going to do it for us here.
We're crunching a time crunch, or we're hitting a time crunch right now. Thanks for hanging out with us. We have all this online. exppoints.com is our site. Double tap that P. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. So like and subscribe, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to be here next Wednesday from 9 to 10, just like tonight. We're going to end everything with All the Things by Dual Core, and we'll see you all there. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And you have been listening to the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Have a good night.
Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA.